Florida State University continues to contribute to our welfare. We've got Dr. Jingkui Ho. She is assistant professor at the College of Communications, Florida State, looking at how we can become a smarter city. We'll talk with her in the second hour. And Florida State football, Tim Linnefelt with an expanded edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report, looking at Clemson and Florida State tonight at 8 o'clock. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Money at car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms, detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs, mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
With all that is going on in our lovely city with regard to energy consumption and traffic management, we thought it appropriate to bring to our studios the very astute, very nice person, Dr. Ho. Jingkui Ho is assistant professor of college communications, Florida State University. They're now in her second year, looking at this neat little app that the city initiated some time ago. In fact, Dr. Ho was a principal in that, in cooperation with and in collaboration with the city, trying to make us all better consumers of energy and better informed of traffic patterns and road hazards and potholes and such things. And yet, to their dismay, apparently, we're not using it. And just a very small number of us have actually embraced this app. And Dr. Ho is asking, why? Why is it not met with greater enthusiasm? What can we do to improve it? And as she asks that question, she's part of a team now, a collaboration between the School of Engineering and or college and the College of Communications. And so she now has this research team devoted to this topic, really having to do with the broader concern of Tallahassee becoming more resilient, being smarter in its understanding of how we consume energy, how we manage traffic, how we communicate with one another. In fact, she's going to talk with us about our energy efficiency. And this notion of resilience, you know, it's a topic that worldwide has been celebrated and is continuing to gather a great deal of interest. How is it that municipalities, we'll say, can deal with crisis in ways that are, more resilient, more communicative, more efficient? So, in fact, if it's more than a simple traffic jam, it might be a hurricane that knocks us on our keister, and so we are without power for several days. Well, the work that Dr. Ho is doing is looking at how, in fact, a technological solution like a digital app, a phone app, might be the platform for us to communicate more efficiently, effectively with one another. So in real time, we're updating one another as to our traffic observations or power outages or some road hazard, right? We're then finding ourselves in conversation more directly with one another and with city officials, with those people who are responsible for such things. All of that is being funded, by the way, this research, slated to go out about a year and a half, about $240,000 granted from the National Science Foundation. Tallahassee, one of only four in the country that was selected. So it's, this is a big deal for us. Another nod for the good folks here in the city of Tallytown. Digitally, it's called. We're going to talk with Dr. Ho in the second hour, so you want to make sure that you're with me for that. Lots of things going on around town. And, of course, tonight, Florida State football. So this is kind of our FSU show today. Florida State football playing Clemson at home, televised on ABC, 8 o'clock. So if you're not at the game, we know what you'll be doing. At least a number of us will be huddled about that other piece of technology that we love so much. And in doing so, you can imagine that digitally could be useful here because, yeah, everybody's going to be jammed at the grocery stores grabbing their snacks in preparation for this nighttime occurrence. And speaking of jams, earlier in the week, of course, candidate Donald Trump made his way to our fair city, and the good folks there at Tallahassee Car Museum graciously opened their doors. And with that, we saw estimated crowds in thousands and thousands of folks who, in fact, I had the opportunity to try to get through the crowd, and it was impossible. And there were folks lined up on this along the street side there, East 90, near I-10, DeVoe Moore's little shack. He's got himself a very, very nice facility out there. Many of you have participated over the years. Brewfest, among other things, holds its annual celebration there. And as it turned out, the protesters were fewer in number than what I thought might be the case. We saw a group of maybe 200 or 300 folks gathered on the opposite side of the street, the anti-Trump folks. Pro-Trump definitely had them outnumbered, and the gates were already closed by the time we got there. And this was about, 30 minutes prior. They were kicking off at 6 o'clock. A friend of the show, Representative Michelle Ray Winkle Vasalinda, one of the headlining speakers for that event, had some remarkable things to say about our nation's future. This particular campaign, the presidential politics at hand. Not too many days left. We're down to the wire. And so we've asked Representative Ray Winkle Vasalinda to join us in an upcoming episode of this here fine radio show. We'll find out more about her thoughts in regard to the presidential race. We should also point to some rather notable occurrences. And this one that I'm going to pick on here. This is called Blue Jeans and Blazers Bash. This is a send-off for the retiring CEO, Jim Croteau, America's second harvest of the Big Bend. Our good buddy Rick Miner, kind enough to send us out this information. And it's happening November 3rd, so that's this coming Thursday. $35 and is your ticket price. And thereafter, you'll be able to attend this wonderful barbecue with live music and tours of the food bank and their new, relatively new location there at America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend. Anyway, so you can find that online if you want to check it out. Go to fightinghunger.org. Simple enough. Fightinghunger.org. Rick Miner, their new CEO, with a hearty congratulations and a good wishes for Jim Croteau, who is leaving and retiring then as their CEO. We're looking forward to having Tim Linnefelt with us here in the first hour. We'll talk about Clemson playing Florida State tonight, 8 o'clock, ABC. That'll be fun, I think. And prior to that, I've got Miriam Dady standing by here with another guest in the business spotlight. So stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady. Brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Hello, I'm Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a wonderful friend and guest this morning, Gary Parsons. He's a financial advisor with Waddell & Reed. He's also a certified financial planner. Tell me those initial... Number one, welcome. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here today.
Certified financial planner, CFP, is important? Is that something that's hard to do?
It's not easy to do. It's a difficult designation to get, but I think it's a designation that's a standard bearer when you're in the financial services industry.
So that, people would look for that specifically?
Well, you should look for that specifically.
Okay.
They don't always look for that, but yes. What it means is that that person has been tested by the CFP Board of Standards, tested on investments and insurance, the law, and other just financial planning in general. And once they've been tested, then they take one big test on the whole thing. And so it's a big project for somebody to want to go through that.
Okay. And so it is a high mark for a lot of people that really aren't prepared.
It's a very high mark, yes.
Okay. Yes. And before we turned the mic on, it made me think of it that you told me a funny story about canoeing, or were you rafting?
I was whitewater rafting on the Chattooga River.
Okay, this is a great illustration.
For anybody that knows the Chattooga River, that's the one there where they filmed Deliverance on. It's a dangerous river. And so I was on the river, and we had a guide, and we were going through some pretty scary things. And then at the very end of the river, when everything was safe and we were all sound, then is when he confessed. That was his first time going down that river.
I'm glad he waited until then.
So what I tell people is you don't want a financial advisor who's not been down the river because the financial waters are turbulent. And there are a lot of things to work out, look out for, and there's a lot of protocols that people like me wouldn't understand and would be able to point out for our clients.
I'm thinking of people who use... the grocery store lotto is their financial planning. It's really funny how much time we spend as Americans worrying about our finances and how little time we spend planning for our future financial needs, right?
Yeah, I think most people spend a lot more time planning their next year's vacation than they do their retirement, which is a pretty long vacation for most people.
It is. And speaking of that, being of the baby boomer generation like I am, I have some experience with elderly people. I grew to respect something called long-term care insurance, which my parents' generation didn't really have that much exposure to. Tell people about that. I want them to hear about long-term care.
Well, first thing we need to define is what is long-term care?
Good.
A long-term care event is when you can't do two activities of daily living: bathing, dressing, feeding yourself, getting out of a chair and walking across the room. If you can't do two of those daily activities that we all take for granted, then that's a long-term care event. It could be just as a result of aging, or you had a stroke or an injury or something like that.
Right.
So once you're in a long-term care event, there's usually no turning around from it. And the statistics are that anyone who makes it to age 65, they have a 1 in 2 chance of having a long-term care event before they die.
Half the population.
Half the population.
That reaches 65 is going to need some help at the end of their life. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. And the average long-term care event is about 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that, but it's close enough to that. So it can put a dent in your finances. So if you have money that you were planning on leaving your family, that may all go down the tubes to the nursing home.
Speaking of assisted living kind of facilities, I think most people, I know I'm in this boat, I want to stay at home as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mentally kind of banking on that money that's coming from my long-term care policy helping me to stay home with help. What does it cost to get home health care?
Well,
what are the costs?
Actually, long-term care costs about $170 a day if you're in some type of
long-term. Just count on it. $170 is kind of average, and it's probably going up.
Yeah, that's here in Leon County. But if you live in another county, it could be much higher than that. If you purchase a long-term care policy, basically what you're doing is you're transferring the risk from your back to the insurance company.
Right.
And then the insurance company would pay the claim if you became in a long-term care situation, and it would give you freedom. It would give you choices, rather, to stay in your own home,
mm-hmm.
or to go to a nursing home if it came to that, or to go to an assisted living facility.
Right. With a long-term care policy, let's say I go skiing in Vail, Colorado. I break both my legs. Would it factor in for me?
Well, that doesn't sound like a long-term care event, because a long-term care event usually is where there's really no hope that you're going to recover.
I got you.
I would imagine that if you broke your legs that you would recover. But if you were 82 and you broke your hip, there might be a good possibility that you're just not going to get well the way you used to be.
Right.
And so in that particular scenario, yeah.
Gosh, Gary, I have so many more questions for you, and we've about run out of time. I want to invite you back. I'd like to continue our conversation, if that's all right with
you.
Oh,
I'd love to do that.
Good.
Yes.
Well, I am talking, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking with Gary Parsons. He is a financial advisor with Waddell & Reed. He is a certified financial planner, and he will be back again to talk with us more about long-term care. My name is Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. We will talk with Gary some more and find out how you can reach out to him.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with the very informative, the experienced, the highly touted rookie from Tallahassee. Well, you know, you're not a rookie. Tim Linnefeld is here. The Linnefeld Sports Report with another expanded edition of this fine journalist and his ability to bring us all of the details and insight about Florida State football. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm afraid that you have me mixed up with somebody else. Did you get your schedule mixed up? I don't know who this guy is you're talking about.
I'm not even sure what day it is right now. That's okay. But Tim, you have been so generous in helping us sort through all of the questions we have about FSU football here in this season. And, you know, it's, I have to tell you, it reminds me of Thanksgiving at my mom's house when I was a kid.
Oh?
Oh, because, you know, you were anticipating it. It was fantastic. You knew all the food was going to be great. And then, you know, your weird uncle shows up. And, you know, from that point forward, it's a toss-up as to how this whole thing is going to play out. And so, you know, we're all just sort of gripping the sides of our, you know, handrails or whatever. We're hoping that as this thing unfolds, that we're going to see the team that we're expecting to see.
Hoping and that the weird uncle behaves himself?
I'm just saying, everybody's got to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
So we're playing Clemson.
Yes.
Let's talk about Clemson.
They're pretty good.
You've noticed.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's a bit
interesting. Where is our biggest challenge? Let me interrupt you by helping you a little bit. Is it on the offense? Is it on the other side of the ball? Where are we going to be most challenged?
I think most people would tell you that the defense will face the biggest challenge, and I definitely understand that. But I actually am looking on the other side. I want to see how Florida State's offensive line performs against Clemson's defensive line. Clemson's defense is fantastic. It's probably the best defensive line that Florida State will have faced this year, and the linebackers and defensive backs are right there with them. It's a really, really good defense. And so if you're Florida State, obviously your offense is going to funnel through Dalvin Cook, who has been just exceptional over the last couple weeks. I don't know if you knew this, but he is leading the Power Five, the major conferences, in yards from scrimmage. I mean, that's due in large part to the fact that he's been a really good receiver out of the backfield this year. It's a new aspect of his game that he's sort of introduced, and I think has been a really nice development for Florida State. But here's the thing. So let's assume that Dalvin Cook is going to get a reasonable day against Clemson. Let's say, you know, 125, 150 yards, maybe even two touchdowns. That's a really good day. Well, that's two touchdowns. You're still going to have to get the passing game involved somehow, which means you're going to have to keep the quarterback, DeAndre Francois, upright long enough to complete some passes and keep him from A, getting sacked, and B, getting hurt. And then the subplot for that is that your receivers have to have a big day, too. So to me, it's more on the offense, and it has to start up front. I think the Florida State offensive line is going to have its best game of the season if Florida State's going to have a chance at this thing.
Which we have not yet seen, in my opinion.
Not yet. Not yet. I mean, and so,
and that's disheartening when you know that we had the number one recruiting class in the country, and to see this offensive line struggling boggles my mind.
Yeah, it is interesting. But I will say this. I do think that they have shown some signs of life and signs of improvement. They had, you know, they shuffled the lineup three or four times to start the season. They finally settled on a starting five and had everybody healthy for more than one game at a time. So I'm curious to see how the bye week helped them now that you have your group of five guys that you know are your starters. And those, it's not really up for debate at this point. Now that you give those guys time to gel, time to work together, together, time to get to know each other a little bit and understand each other's ticks and strengths and weaknesses. Will they be better? Will the extra week off of practice working together, being able to focus on themselves rather than an opponent or a game, will that show a tangible benefit on Saturday?
And in that regard, with injuries in mind, and I know coaches don't like to talk about injured players particularly.
They don't love it.
They don't, no. But DeAndre certainly has had a real licking thus far, and his shoulder has been out.
He has. I think he's doing fine. I thought he didn't look any really worse for wear against Wake Forest. I know he was a little bit limited in practice the week leading up to the Wake Forest game, but I think a lot of guys are this time of year, and he was pretty banged up after that Miami game.
Did they talk
game.
About the nature of the injury to the shoulder?
I don't think there was anything in particular, anything that you need to diagnose. I think he just landed hard on it, and I'm sure there's some sort of technical term for it, but I think
we would call it a bruise.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
As opposed to a dislocation.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything like that.
Pulled ligaments and that sort of thing.
No, and the fact that usually those types of sprains, I think they call like the AC joint and all that. Yeah. If that's a serious injury, then usually the guy won't play or can't play.
So then we look at coaching, and we look at how, in fact, the coaching staff has been. I mean, one of the few times I've seen Coach Fisher visibly angry at a few post-game occurrences, post-game press conferences. I mean, more so than I recall, where he was just short with the press. He just kind of, one or two word answers. And I'm curious as to whether or not that has translated into shifts within the coaching strategy, as far as you know.
That's a good question. I don't.
It's one thing to get angry,
right? Yeah. Well, and it's an emotional game, and there have been some frustrating aspects of this season, not only in the losses, but even some of the wins have been, they've been hard to come by, and feature some things that you'd rather not see. It's a fair question. I think Jimbo is if nothing else, he's consistent in that what he'll say is the reasons for success, they don't change. And I agree with him on that. I think that's a pretty good maxim, even though it sounds kind of like coach speak. I think when you actually get back to what that is, it makes sense. So he says, look, we've had success. We won a national championship here a handful of years ago. We know that our way of doing things can work. It's just a matter of getting everybody on the same page and getting guys to buy in. Now, I do think there's been a bit of a change in some of the specifics on both offense and defense. I think the defense has probably run a little bit more man coverage over the last couple weeks with some success against Miami and Wake Forest, and the players have expressed that they like that as well. It sort of simplifies things. It's one thing to have multiple assignments in a zone, and if you have to know if this guy goes here, then I do this, but if he goes there, then I do that, and on and on and on. Whereas lining up and saying this is your man, stick with him.
Right.
That can tend to be make things a little bit easier and simplify.
And Mr. McFadden would be a great example of somebody who seems to stick well, but when it comes to anticipating where he's supposed to be and where everybody else in that secondary is at the moment, not so much.
Yeah, he's had an interesting year, hasn't he? It's been kind of fascinating to watch him. He's definitely given up some big plays. He would
that
tell you that
wasn't the word I was going for.
Well, I think it's a good one.
Yes, but
and I understand some frustrations. But the positive development to me is look, I'm not here to say that he hasn't had some growing pains, but he is a new starter. Yeah. This is his first year in the base defense, and he has 5 interceptions, which is a lot. It leads the country. It's tough to be tied for the lead in the country, but 5 is a pretty healthy amount.
Indeed,
and so that to me. All cornerbacks are going to get beat at some point. Deion Sanders gets beat. Richard Sherman gets beat. It happens. The fact that he's able to be in position and still make his share of plays, 5 interceptions is nothing to sneeze at. You'd like to see him maximize the good plays and minimize the bad plays, but the fact that he's able to still keep his head on straight and get out there and make plays despite having some challenges throughout the year, if I were looking for a silver lining, that's what I would point to.
Well, and the players aren't the only ones who have taken a licking. Coach Kelly has certainly had a lot of press and a lot of scrutiny and criticism and so forth thrown at him. And as the defensive coordinator, he's not immune to that, and not the least of which would be, Coach Fisher looking at that situation. Well, how do you see it from your perspective?
I think Charles Kelly has shown throughout his career that he's a pretty good defensive mind. Nobody had any complaints about the way he coached them last year when they didn't allow a single team to score more than 24 points up until the bowl game. They were the only team in the country, I think, that could say that. It's a mixture of things. I can tell you from the players' perspective, and I've heard some of them asked about it, they don't like it. They say that the blame falls on us. So the scheme is fine. What we're being asked to do is fine. We just have to go out there and do it. And so now if you want to take the other side of that and say, well, if the players can't do what they're being asked to, then maybe you'd ask them to do something else. And that's fine. And maybe to a degree we've seen that change. If you can't figure all that out in 10 minutes, it takes some time.
Yeah. We're talking with Tim Linnefelt. You are listening to the Linnefelt Sports Report in this expanded edition, talking about Florida State football and this game with our neighbors across the way, Clemson. Game time is, what is the game time?
8 o'clock. 8:22, I think, is the official kickoff. So if you're running a little late, don't worry.
That's right. Stay with us. We're going to do a little bit more here with our good buddy Tim Linnefelt. This portion of our show brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts, your holiday gift headquarters.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report here on Tallahassee Talks as we continue our discussion about this little matchup tonight. Number three, are they in the country?
Number three in one poll, number two in the other. But most importantly, they're in the top four in just about every
Clemson
metric,
Tigers,
which means that they are gearing up for a spot in the college football playoff.
Yeah, and in that regard, these teams have certainly faced each other many times before.
Mm-hmm.
What's different about this year, do you think? For both teams,
can I answer that tomorrow? No, it's got a bit of a different feel to it. The big thing to me that stands out as being different, and it's a bit unfortunate from a Florida State perspective, is that either Florida State or Clemson has the winner of the Florida State Clemson game has gone on to win the ACC's Atlantic Division every year since 2009, and I suspect that could hold true this year, especially if Clemson beats Florida State. But the difference being that Louisville is now in the mix as well. They've really thrown a monkey wrench into the hierarchy of the ACC, and we're to the point where, well, Florida State needs to beat Clemson in order to get back in the divisional race. Just beating Clemson will hardly be a guarantee that Florida State can win the Atlantic Division and advance to the ACC championship game. So that has a little bit of a different feel to it in that respect. But look, it's still a big game. It's still a game for Florida State, especially for Florida State seniors. You know, you're at home. It's one of the marquee games on your schedule. Right now, you're 2-1 throughout your career. If you've been here, if this is your fourth year, you're 2-1 against Clemson. You got this game coming up tonight, and going 3-1 against those guys sounds a whole lot better than 2-2 with two straight losses to close out your career. So I do think it still means something to those guys. And look, you know, Florida State has two losses right now through seven games, which I think is more than most people would have expected through seven games.
Right.
But assuming Florida State keeps winning, and assuming that the season around the rest of the country keeps going, more teams are going to get more losses.
Yep.
There's going to be more 1-2 loss teams. And all of a sudden, a Florida State team that perhaps hasn't won over Clemson, their resume is going to start looking more and more impressive as those weeks go on.
Yeah. When Clemson hits the field, what do they bring offensively that scares you the most?
Well, it's kind of a pick your poison. I think you have to say Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, scares you the most. He's just such a fantastic, dynamic player. He was my choice, I thought, for the Heisman Trophy last year. I thought he was the best player in the country. It obviously ended up going to the running back from Alabama, and that's fine. But I think that Deshaun Watson is just fantastic. He can throw. He can run. He's a superstar athlete. But you know, what also really makes him go is that he has some really talented guys around him. Wayne Gallman, Clemson's running back, is one of the best in the ACC. And Mike Williams, the guy who missed most of last season with an injury. He's 6'3", around 220 pounds, just a big prototype NFL receiver. A lot of Florida State's defensive backs this week were saying they think he's a first-round talent. So when you have a great quarterback, which Clemson does, and you have great running backs and great receivers, and one of the best tight ends in the country, by the way, it's tough. It's a tall order. I don't want to mince words here. I think, you know, like Florida State has some reasons to believe that they can play tonight and pull off the win, but it's going to be a tough game. I think. Yeah. Look, here's what you need to know. Florida State lost at Louisville pretty handily early this season, right?
Yep.
When Clemson beat Louisville. And I'm not saying the transitive property always works in college football, but certainly it does not. But knowing that Clemson handled that team, and it was a close game and a really good one, but knowing that Clemson beat Louisville and that Louisville just, you know, had a just I don't even know how you describe that what happened in Louisville last month.
Meltdown.
It should just, all it needs to tell you is that, you know, if you're wondering whether or not Clemson is going to be as big of a challenge as you were expecting, they will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Somehow I feel worse. Now, if in fact we're talking about Clemson defensively, what are those aspects of the game they bring most aggressively?
Again, I think that defensive line is just fantastic. They're really, really good. And, you know, the key, I think any defensive coordinator in the country would tell you this, is to be able to get pressure on the quarterback and get into the backfield and stop the opposing running game without having to blitz, meaning without having to rush your linebackers or your defensive backs. Because what that does is it allows you to disrupt plays, opposing plays, while making sure that everybody is also covered, or at least everybody has a man. Usually when you blitz, you have to leave somebody uncovered and hope that they get there fast enough to where it doesn't matter. Well, if you can generate pressure with that front four, which Clemson can often, then you're generating pressure, and two, the quarterback has nowhere to go. And Clemson's really, really good about that. I think their defensive line is fantastic. Their linebacker, Ben Bulware, is one of the best in the country, and he's really good at sort of cleaning up messes, so to speak, and if something does slip through, he's usually the guy there to close that door. It's a really good it's a good defense. I think as good as Clemson's offense is, I think, again, like I said earlier in the last segment, I think matching up against Clemson's defense and finding ways to score against them could be a bigger challenge.
In fact, and do they play man-to-man? Do they play zone, or do they do as well either way?
I think they mix it up mostly. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of just let the situation dictate, which most schools do anymore.
It seems like that's the way it goes, and so you see a lot of that happening from one play to the next, where they're moving players in and out to adjust, right, for what they see on the field. When you look at the rest of the season for Florida State football, and we'll assume the best for tonight. We'll assume that Florida State's going to pull the upset, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
And they're going to win tonight against Clemson. Then what happens? So you got several more games ahead, not the least of which would be the Florida game.
Right.
Give them in rank order in terms of the most challenging versus the least challenging as you see it.
As I see it right now, okay, so we're knocking off Clemson.
Right.
So you got four games left.
Yep.
To me, the most difficult one, it's a tie, it's close. As tempting as it is to say that Florida game, I actually might go the other direction and say that the week after, next week, at NC State could be the biggest challenge left on Florida State's schedule. They have a really good offense. It's at NC State, where if you know your Florida State history, you know that Carter Finley Stadium at NC State has not been terribly kind to Florida State in recent years. FSU always seems to have a hard time there. Even when they won there two years ago when Florida State won finally at NC State, it wasn't until they fell down by two touchdowns until they were able to rally and come away with that victory. That's a tough place to play, and NC State has a very talented offense, and so I think that's going to be a big challenge. Right behind it, and I reserve the right to change my mind on this, is that Florida game at the end of the year.
Right.
I actually think that going to Syracuse before Florida, going on the road, playing in the Carrier Dome, which is a unique setting, is going to be a challenge for Florida State as well. I expect Florida State to win that game, but Syracuse's offense, if you look at them, is one of the best offenses in the country.
Yeah.
They just give up points to match. So Florida State's defense is going to have to be on point in that one. And then finally, the Friday night game against Boston College. I don't mean to take anything away from them. They're always pretty stout defensively, but offensively they tend to be challenged. Mm. So that's my order. NC State 1, Florida 1A, Syracuse 3, and Boston College 4.
If we look at postseason play, the idea of the championship,
well, if you're assuming that they knock off Clemson tonight, then it's certainly is much more
still
realistic.
Still in play.
You have reason to hope. You would need Clemson to lose again and you would need Louisville to lose again. And I think under those circumstances, I'd have to break out my math hat. It would create a three-way tie, and then they would call in Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye and have them come up with some sort of complex formula to figure out who actually wins the division under those circumstances.
Would you say that we are bowl eligible nonetheless?
Well, as of today, technically they're not. They only have five wins, and you have to get six to get there. But I believe they'll win at least one more game, so they will get there. Most bowl projections I've seen so far have Florida State in the state of Florida for their bowl game. Whether there are two different bowl games in Orlando and how they finish up depends on which one they get to. And then also the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville is a potential matchup as well. So.
The Linnefelt Sports Report, always a pleasure having this young man bring us his keen insights into the world of Florida State athletics, and we have FSU playing Clemson tonight, somewhere around 8:22, I believe, is kickoff time, right, Tim?
That's right.
Thank you for your kindness and your insight and wisdom. Always a pleasure.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
The Linnefelt Sports Report continues from time to time as we bring you all Florida State football. You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks coming up right after this.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item, $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny in the second hour of this Here Fine Radio show. You know, you can find us online, TallahasseeTalks.com. There we keep for you on file all of the shows that we've broadcast in our archive. You can share with a friend. Those links are always good. So if you grab the link to that particular show that you're listening to, you can email it to somebody. Hey, take a listen. So that's a good thing, right? You can subscribe to the podcast for the show, and thereafter you'll be updated. You'll be in tune, up to date. I like Podcast Addict. That's my fave. You open up the app, and you know it updates your library with the latest of your favorite shows. And of course, Tallahassee Talks is right there, one of those favorites that you have in your library of podcasts. How cool is that? And speaking of apps, we've got Jingkwai Ho. Dr. Ho will be with us here in this second hour talking about digitally and Tallahassee becoming a smarter city. Thanks to the work of her research team, they were awarded about $240,000 grant from NSF, National Science Foundation, one of only four cities in the country to receive such funding, looking at how, in fact, this bit of technology, a simple app, can help us better communicate, become more energy efficient, more resilient as a city, meaning that we are able to deal with crises of various kinds. So natural disasters as well as human disasters can be better managed, so they think, if we can develop this app to be a bit more user-friendly, perhaps. So one of the initial questions is, how come we're not using it? And I mean, I don't know. I've got it on my phone, but I have to tell you, I don't think the city has done much to help promote this app. Because, I mean, you would think everybody would be knowing about this. And I talk to people all the time. They don't know anything about it. And they certainly don't have the app, but they don't know that it exists. And those of us who do have it are not quite sure why we would use it, other than to notify somebody of a pothole. As it turns out, there's a lot more involved with it than just that. Dr. Ho is going to help us understand that better. And as a result of her research and the work of her team, which, by the way, is a collaboration between engineering and communications. Dr. Ho is with the College of Communications, Florida State University, an assistant professor there. Lovely person. We're going to spend the last half of the show with her, last half hour. Going to learn a lot. Stay with me on that one. And I think one of the benefits, maybe a tertiary benefit of her work and our use of such things like digitally, perhaps we become a little less contentious with one another. Maybe we become a little bit more human in our effort to be a community that shares information and is less suspect of one another or suspicious of one another. And maybe we are more willing to cooperate rather than simply take sides or point fingers, which is something that's become sort of the rule of the day, given the political climate we are in. But even more so, and this is a editorial comment, I think as a culture, we've drifted long ago and far away from civility. You know, good manners, politeness. Who can shout the loudest? That's what it's all about. And I think perhaps we get then what we deserve if we've been consuming for decades the kind of film and music, literature, television that is replete with all kinds of vulgarity and, we'll call it, bad manners. Wow. Then what kind of folks do we find running for office? And maybe they say things that we think are impolite or out of line. I don't know. What have we done among ourselves to encourage such nicer behavior? Healthy question, I think. Maybe Dr. Ho can help us with that, too. We'll find out. Communicating with one another in ways that are productive. That's kind of what we're trying to do here, folks. And to help us stay in tune with those things that are going on around town. You know, we try to report the news as we see it, especially those things that are near and dear. And speaking of political initiatives, it turns out that the city is not going to build a wall, which was part of this idea. It was actually about a $500,000 project that was slated through the Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency plan to build the sound wall around the southern perimeter of Cascades Park to accommodate those residents who were complaining about noise, sound, drifting. As it turns out, they're going to sell off about 10 acres of land, and they're going to have a private developer pay for the whole thing. And that person's going to come in and build brownstones, you know, buildings, homes. And they hope then that those new structures will serve as a kind of buffer. So there's innovation for you. Don't build a wall. Just build some houses. See how that works. And get somebody else to pay for it. Not a bad idea. Folks, here's some more ideas. I've got Andrew Rybeck with us, bringing us what you are going to be doing this week. Andrew?
All right, so with Halloween right around the corner, I have compiled a list just to kind of make sure you have the spookiest weekend possible. If you haven't carved your pumpkin yet, don't worry. It probably would have gone rotten anyway by now. But if you're listening to this live on this Saturday and you want to get festive, head on down to the Pumpkin Patch at Tallahassee Heights. The event lasts until 3, and this includes pony rides, bouncy rooms, face painting, special photo areas, and music, and this is all free of charge. The ponies will be only there till 2 p.m., and there will also be food for purchase. And then on Sunday the 30th, the center of Tallahassee is the place to be for all your Halloween fun. As if going to the mall wasn't already fun enough, now you can trick-or-treat at your favorite stores. The list of stores of which you can trick-or-treat at include AMC, Barnes & Noble, Bath & Body Works, Dreamland Barbecue, Gamescape, Guitar Center, Formals by Vince, Ross, Shoe Carnival, Tara's Angels Magic, and Urban Food Market. When your pillowcase is full of candy, make sure you stop by the Brickyard for a free pumpkin crafting event with FSU's very own Cimarron and the FSU women's basketball team. Again, all of this fun can be had at the center of Tallahassee Mall. And then just so you all are aware, Halloween is this Monday, and a couple places offer free food for you to fuel up before you go trick-or-treating. Beef O'Brady's, as long as your kid is in a costume, they'll eat free. And then you can get a free scary face pancake at IHOP, a free donut at Krispy Kreme. They didn't say anything about ages, so as long as you're in a costume, big or small, you can get a free donut. And then at Casa Grande, kids eat free. That's all we have this week, and that's what you'll be doing this week. For Tallahassee Talks, I'm Andrew Rybeck.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Hello. I'm Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I am continuing a conversation that we had previously with my friend Gary Parsons. He is a financial advisor with Waddell & Reed. He is also a certified financial planner. And our discussion just, it's leading from one thing to another regarding aging and being able to financially care for ourselves, our parents, those that we love, when they're no longer able to care for themselves. Gary, thanks for coming back.
My pleasure.
We were talking when we left off about what really would qualify as a long-term event. I mentioned breaking my leg, and let's say I'm in rehab. I'm checked out of the hospital, but I'm in rehab and I can't drive for 6 months. Would a policy that's long-term kick in to effect and help me out for a period of time and then kick back out once I regain mobility?
Yeah, a policy can do that. Usually with long-term care, that's the last resort. Insurance.
Right.
If you broke your leg and you have Medicare paying for some of your rehab and hospital stays and things like that, then the long-term care probably wouldn't kick in.
I hear you.
Once that it's been determined that you're in a situation where you're not going to get any better, Medicare is not paying anymore, then the long-term care insurance could kick in. If you did get better, then you didn't need it anymore, then you could start your period all over again.
I hear you. Yeah. This brings up another question. You said if Medicare can pick up those things, well, what is the perfect age to even think about buying long-term care?
That's a
policy?
Really good question. Not too many people ask that, but I would say around 50.
To keep my costs down, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because here's why. Money pays for the coverage,
mm-hmm.
but your health is what buys it. And so you've got to be healthy. And so don't wait until you find out that you've developed osteoporosis or you have COPD or anything like that. Do it while you're young and while you're healthy.
Would an insurance company deny long-term care to someone that has a failing health condition, or would it just jack up the cost?
No, it probably would deny it.
I see.
I'm not saying that, you know, I mentioned osteoporosis, and that's not necessarily a deny. But if you have a fracture, and then there's a good possibility of that. But
so it's time to buy when you're healthy.
Yeah,
course.
And young, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because whatever age you are, at the time you buy the policy,
mm-hmm.
that's how old you will be to the insurance company for the rest of your life. So if you bought your policy at age 50, and I say, well, I don't really want to do it, and I wait, and I'm 62 when I buy mine, I will be paying premiums based on a 62-year-old for the rest of my life,
uh-huh.
whereas you will be paying premiums based on a 50-year-old for the rest of your life.
Interesting. Good. Now, do you have a lot of people that own this policy, or can it be kind of financially figured with other policies? How does it work?
Yeah, I've been a financial advisor for quite a long time, and mm-hmm. I have been talking to people for years about the importance of having long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, many times it falls on deaf ears. People, they don't always want to pay for it. They don't want to imagine that they would ever be in that situation.
Gosh.
And
you think about the kind of health strides we've made with heart disease, and people aren't dying quickly. They're not having this massive stroke or heart attack and dying. We're living a long time now.
Right,
so it seems that people would be more open to that. I think they just don't want to think about it, right?
Right. I don't know if it's they don't want to think about it. A lot of times the big fear is they don't want to pay premiums on something they may never need.
Mm.
Because the premiums with long-term care can be more than what they were expecting. So
they're thinking they don't want to pay premiums and then not have any kind of payout at the end. How can you salve their conscience when they're facing?
Well, sometimes I talk to them about, well, you have insurance on your home. You don't really want it to catch on fire,
that's
do
true.
You?
Yeah.
But you do pay for it, and you don't really get a refund back from it. So, but there are other ways to mitigate that. Some people just say, well, I want to buy a life insurance policy. And a lot of life insurance policies have long-term care riders attached to them. That way you get paid either way. If you are in a long-term care event, some of the death benefit would be used to pay for your long-term care expenses.
I see.
If you never had a long-term care claim on the life policy, then when you die, then the life insurance pays off.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those who are there after you and for your care while you need it.
There are some trade-offs with everything that you do, but I would mm-hmm. say to anybody, get the facts.
Yeah.
Go to a reputable insurance agent or financial advisor who understands it,
right.
and who has choices to offer to you,
mm-hmm.
and maybe go through the underwriting. And because until you go through the underwriting, you don't know if you're going to get approved or not,
mm-hmm.
and at what classification you're going to get approved. And that way you can at least make a determination about, is this what I want to do?
Get the facts. That's the important thing. And I want to take this opportunity, Gary, to tell people how they can reach you. I've got your website as GaryParsons.WRFA.com.
That's correct.
Now, if people reach out to you, Gary, and want to continue this conversation, about long-term care or about anything in their future, about their financial planning, is this website the best way they can reach you?
They can reach me at GaryParsons.WRFA.com, and all of my contact information is on my website. Good. Or they can call me direct at 850-300-7060.
I hope you do. I hope everyone out there really takes this conversation seriously and explores what long-term care and other financial planning options can do for you, because let's hope all of us have a future, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And the finances to be able to stand there with us. Gary, thank you once again for being here. I appreciate
you. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for being with me. Once again, this is Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you are quite satisfied that all of the local officials and municipalities, Leon County, City of Tallahassee, handled all that went on with Hurricane Hermine in just precisely the manner that they should have, then you don't want to listen to this next half hour because you're fully satisfied. However, if you've thought perhaps that things could have been handled perhaps a bit more efficiently, maybe there could have been a little better effort made at communicating among one another, among officials and various departments and even county and city folks talking, well, then you want to pay attention, because in this half hour, we're going to consider how Tallahassee can become a smarter city. And I say that with distinction, because a smart city is particularly a thing. It is so much a thing that the National Science Foundation has allocated funds across the country with various communities. And to be selected for such work is a note of distinction. Well, guess what? There are now only 4 cities in America that have been granted funding from the NSF. Tallahassee is one of those. Is that not a cool thing? Well, you're going to find out just how cool that is, because we have with us the lead researcher, Dr. Jinghui Ho, who is an assistant professor at Florida State University. Let's welcome Dr. Ho. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
And thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
In fact, Dr. Ho, you have been with the university now, going in your second year. You are with the College of Communications.
Right.
Right. So what we've discovered, to cut to the chase here, folks, that two schools have come together in this, the College of Communications and the College of Engineering.
Yes.
So your work then brings these perspectives, a multidisciplinary approach, we'd say,
right,
in asking questions about just this. How is it that City of Tallahassee,
mm-hmm,
officials and administrators and departments and citizens of Tallahassee can, mm-hmm, better communicate with one another,
yes,
using technology, mm-hmm, that is readily available,
mm-hmm,
and can be enhanced and further developed, right?
Right.
How did I do? Is that pretty accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. So, folks, you may recall we've had on the show on a couple of occasions our good friend Jim Van Riper, who, in fact, serves diligently. And, Jim, I hope you're paying attention, because I'm saying a nice thing about you. He works very hard every day for the City of Tallahassee. And one of his responsibilities has to do with this app that Jim very, very generously described for us in his conversations with us. And it's called Digitally. Well, guess what? Dr. Ho, mm-hmm, was directly involved in the development of that application, which I have to say, Dr. Ho, it's on my phone.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But here's the problem. I'm not using it.
Right.
And I'm not exactly sure why.
Right.
Does that bother you?
Yeah. Actually, I think from, city part, I think it's a good application. It has good purpose. But we don't use that very often.
We're not.
Many people don't even know about
that.
Don't
even know it exists.
Right. And people who already adopted, they don't, continue to use it. And it's not part of their life. So what we want to understand is, okay, this is a cool thing, but why people don't like it? Why people don't use it? What are the barriers? What are the factors that influence their use and adoption?
And so this particular research having to do with digitally and its use has a lot of legs, it seems to me, because if you can get us using it, first you have to figure out why we're not using it.
Yeah. Right.
And then the outcome is, what can we do to make it better?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So it's more usable, maybe we'd say user-friendly.
Right.
Now, as the research goes forward, what other questions will you be asking?
Okay, so with this research, we want to first understand why people use it, why people don't use it, what they like, what they dislike. So with those information, we can learn on how we can improve this app, the current app. And the second question will be, okay, if people adopt it, why don't they continue to use it? Why don't they get involved? Because honestly, this app has a lot of social network function, cross-sourcing function, but people don't really input their idea, generate their content on their platform. So we want to also understand what can motivate people to engage in that.
You know what it is? I think we're lazy. I really do. I think
probably.
That I know I am.
I will not criticize people. It's just human. That means the app may be not user-friendly enough.
We're in that mode right now. We're very self-critical, so it's okay. No, I think that I'm looking at my own behavior and thinking, Nola, you've had this thing on your phone.
Yeah.
And you've talked with Jim Van Riper twice on the show. You're not using it. What's wrong with you? But I think it is laziness in this way, that I don't take the time to dig in and realize, even as it stands, digitality does have a lot of features that maybe I haven't taken advantage of, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're talking about the interactive aspects of it,
right?
Where I can make contribution to an ongoing a conversation about the roads or weather conditions or traffic or whatever.
City events, everything, games, even everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And, I've got a real life example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm driving home from work. It's Tuesday afternoon earlier this week. Traffic is backed up on Mahan Drive. And I'm thinking, this is Tuesday. And it was in the afternoon. And then it hit me. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The Trump campaign, their rally out there east of town. And by the time I had that figured out, I'm stuck. There's no way. I mean, we're stopped.
Yeah.
Now my cell phone won't work because Secret Service have put a blanket of what do they call it, Carl? A cell phone suppression or whatever for security purposes.
Right.
So now your cell phone is out of whack.
Right.
Maybe digitally could have notified me upon my departure from my office.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, you got a problem up ahead. Is it that simple? Is it that kind of stuff? Or is it even more so? I mean, energy consumption. I know that's one of the areas of your concern.
Yes. I think it can do more than that. It can, do a lot of things that beyond our imagination. Because for one thing, this platform can be used to alert people of electricity shortage or energy consumption. It can help monitor and also traffic, of course. But it can also be very creative. Like, it let users to openly and freely talk about a lot of city issues. So it's more like a platform, right? And that can be used creatively, innovatively by the citizens.
And would then the city be on the receiving or at least the monitoring end of that? So if the collective voice of the people is saying, you need to fix this pothole or you need to put another lane in this thoroughfare, then somebody back there, maybe it's Jim, this is his job. Now he's just watching and then reporting all of that back to various agencies within the city.
I certainly agree. Can be also function as a very efficient platform between the citizens and the city officials, operators.
Yeah.
So, of course.
Well, folks, if you're not feeling as I do that this is a remarkable thought, I mean, what if on your way to work, you grab Digitally and you hit a button, we'll say, on the app itself that alerts people to a traffic snarl up or a power line that's down or a pothole. You know, somebody in real time is getting that information and able to alert all of us at one moment. Wow, what a great idea. The app is called Digitally. Dr. Ho is our guest. She is with Florida State University College of Communications. We're going to continue this very interesting conversation. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Dr. Jingque Ho. She is with the College of Communications, Florida State University, assistant professor there. You are a native of Shanghai.
Oh, yes.
And we are not here to talk about your observations when it comes to American lifestyle. But I said earlier, I think a lot of it is just a sort of complacency. I call it laziness.
Okay.
But we're given these resources and then we don't utilize them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad was quintessential at buying a piece of equipment, like a VCR, and never knowing how to use it, right?
Okay.
So we're a victim of that, I think. We are our own worst enemy when it comes to knowing how to utilize something like this. Now, your research on that question brings the College of Engineering, the College of Communications, you on the communications side. What is it that you are going to spend your time doing? What research, what is the actual behavior that you'll be looking at?
For this project?
Yeah, for this project.
What we are planning to do is we will do a focus group in a couple of communities. So we invite citizens in Tallahassee to talk about their usage of Digitally, or their, you know, if they don't use it, why they don't use it. And we also want to learn from them through conversation what expectation they have for a smart city technology. Just use their imagination, what they want to achieve, if there's a cool thing that can help them.
Right. So here we are, folks, at ground level. When you stop and think about all of the innovations that have come about in city management, let's talk about the last, 10, 15 years. Somewhere, someone like Dr. Ho spent some time asking a question. What if those street lamps were halogen as opposed to incandescent bulbs, right? What if the material being used to pave those roads was more resilient? And speaking of resilience, that resilient topic is a big, big issue, isn't it?
Right.
Worldwide.
Yes.
The resilience of a city to endure crisis.
Yes.
And yes, we've come through some crises of late related to hurricane force winds, power outages. Mm-hmm. How would Digitale help us in a situation like that?
First of all, it's already serving the function of informing people. Like people can get, I don't know if you use it during the hurricane, but I use it.
I did not.
To check.
See, that's my problem.
Okay. But I use that to check, you know, the map where they show how many people or houses are still out of power. You know, you can report, you know, I still have this issue, etc. So it served the information function already.
Yeah.
But I think it can further develop into like giving people more information about, well, there is a shelter you can go to, where there's a place in the city that provides, you know, electricity, AC, cool Wi-Fi stuff. So it can serve a lot of function, and I think it already did some of that.
Wow. If in fact, and I remember Jim talking about this, the city created this app for us, but then sort of lost its way in communicating the value to us. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us are just either unfamiliar with it, or though we may have it, we haven't been reminded as to its veracity, you know, what it can do for us.
Yes.
You talk about the resilience of a city, being a smart city.
Mm-hmm.
How does that play out? How does it play out in terms of energy efficiencies for us? Or would this work then that you're doing make us smarter in how we manage the energy consumption?
Yeah, I think the reason why a city becomes smart, or it's a smart city technology, is because we involve people. People are smart. They can, you know, as a whole, as a group, community, overall, we can learn, you know, some of our folks know there's an issue here. So others know how to react. So if we have more informed information, we can get informed decision. That, you know, get people, they just actively, automatically, they know what to do with those information. If, you know, if a friend from Digitale says, okay, this clinic is too crowded, I've been waiting here for the doctor for over 1 hour, you probably won't go this time.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how, as a whole,
so
as a group,
in real time,
we are smarter.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We are better informed.
Right.
And Digitale could actually alert me, even without me having to open the app.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, I certainly get a lot of notifications, right? From
That's a small minor technical issue that we can achieve. Yeah,
you can do that.
Yes.
And this phase of the work is slated for 18 months, year and a half,
right,
that you'll be doing this.
Right.
And in that time, you're saying that you'll have focus groups.
And survey.
And survey work, right? To ask people the question, why are you using it? Why are you not using it? And then adjust the platform to accommodate those responses. Is that the idea?
Yeah, we want to get feedback information from people, and then with those feedback, we want to improve our the current Digitale interface.
Right.
Right.
And your colleagues from the College of Engineering, and this is a research team. I think there's like four or five of you, right, on this team, or
three professors are leading this project, but we also have a lot of colleagues.
Involved,
and also the city folks are involved.
So it's a collaboration in that way,
right,
too.
Right.
Which is kind of cool when you think about it. Florida State University, for its contribution to this community and to the world, continues to be formidable.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have the city collaborating with the university. So it seems like a great use of talent and resource and insight.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, this is why we brought Dr. Ho to the studio today, because we thought, let's take a little look at what Tallahassee might look like in the future. It seems to me, Dr. Ho, that a platform of this kind could actually help us communicate better with one another, and in that way enhance the human considerations,
right?
The humanity of us all.
Yes, Yeah, it can facilitate our communication with other fellow citizens, yeah. Our communication with the city managers, operators.
Yeah. You know, that was my observation, too, and I think many others thought that had there been that level of communication going on, a lot of the contentiousness that came up out of the conversations with state and city officials related to Hurricane Hermine mm-hmm. could have been avoided. Mm-hmm. Maybe we would have been communicating better with one another
right.
in a direct way.
Yes.
And so we hope for you great success in this work.
Thank
I want to
you.
Continue this conversation with you and your colleagues. So
yes.
when you have opportunity, come back and bring us an
sure.
update.
I'd love to, yes.
Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for inviting me.
What a pleasure. Wow. So Dr. Jinghui Ho is our guest this morning, an assistant professor at the College of Communications, Florida State University, working on helping us become a smarter city. What a great prospect that is. Folks, thanks for being with me this morning. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer, Carl Cerny, and an associate producer, Andrew Rybeck. I'll be looking for you again next Saturday. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.